Senator Porter-Miller.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absentee members.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Kevin McDonough from the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And after the prayer, still stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning, Mr. President, Senators. We passed just a few days ago an important anniversary, the 29th anniversary of the death of an extraordinary man, Hubert Humphrey. And I wanted to offer just a brief word from Vice President Humphrey and then a prayer to follow as you move into the harder and longer days of the session. Vice President Humphrey once wrote, "You cannot go around and keep score. If you keep score on the good things and the bad things, you'll find out that you're a very miserable person. God gave us the ability to forget, which is one of the greatest attributes you have. Because if you remember everything that's happened to you, you generally remember that which is most unfortunate." Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask for good memory of good things and bad memory of bad things, peace and order among us, and service for the community. We ask all these things in your holy name. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Monoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gaither, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Worgen, and Weger. Quorum is present.
Quorum is present. First order of business is reports of committees. Senator Porter-Miller.
I move that the committee reports be printed in today's agenda, that the committee reports printed in today's agenda be adopted with the exception of the reports pertaining to appointments.
On the Porter-Miller motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. Senator, President, I move that the committee reports pertaining to appointments be laid on the table.
On the motion to lay on the table, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are four authors' motions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, we will take them as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Do we want to hit Senator Betzel, did you have a motion to make?
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 121 be withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight and be re-referred to the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans.
Senator Betzel on the motion.
Yeah, Mr. President, this the subject matter of this bill is more properly within the Ag Committee. It deals with issues that are within the Board of Animal Health, which is more of an Ag Committee, and so it really belongs over in that committee.
Okay, on the Betzel motion. All those in favor on the re-referral signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next, there is one resolution on today's agenda, resolution number 25. Without objection, the resolution will be sent to the Rules Committee. Next order of business is the calendar for the day. The Senate file number 19.
Senate file number 19, a bill for an act relating to metropolitan government terminating the Legislative Commission on Metropolitan Government, modifying reporting requirements for the Metropolitan Council.
Any discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate file 19. I guess we did the third reading. Secretary will take the roll. Having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. It'll be in 64 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Next order of business will be the general orders calendar. Senator Pogemiller, did you have a motion to make?
Mr. President, I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purpose of taking up the general orders calendar.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The committee shall be in order. The committee has before us House file number 8. Chair recognizes the Senator Bach. Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that House File number 8, number 1 on general orders. Oh, no, that's the wrong motion.
Doc, I don't want to do that.
That'll send it back to committee members.
Do you want to just pick it up?
Yeah. I got it. Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, House File number 8 be recommended to pass.
Senator Bach, move that when this committee do arise, that Senate House File number 8 be recommended to pass. Senator Bach, on the motion, on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, this is the federal conformity bill that we had on the floor here last week. Provides a higher education tuition deduction on about 110,000 returns here in the state. There are that's about $18 million of the bill. There's about $1 million for what we think will be about 54,000 teachers, up to $250 for a deduction for classroom supplies that they buy. There are a number of smaller provisions in here. The bill is about $24.2 million of reduced state income taxes for tax filing year 2006. Members, I'd appreciate your support.
Further discussion on House File number 8. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, I would rise on behalf of the Republican caucus to suggest that we leave this where it is, on the floor and in general orders and ready for action. I think you'll find Republicans willing and happy to support this bill. We'd like to bring it to the floor for debate and move it on. We moved it out of tax committee without amendment, as I recall, and it's a good bill. It ought to pass. It ought to stay right here. We ought to, again, bring it to the floor, have the debate, and pass it on. And so that's a suggestion of our caucus, and hopefully we can leave it on the floor and keep this bill active.
Okay, the motion is to recommend the bill to pass.
Mr. President, was his not to refer it back to committee?
I don't believe so. It was
okay.
He's moving the bill.
Okay.
Are you objecting to?
No, I'm not at all. I want to keep it here. Let's move the bill.
You want to move the bill? Okay. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. At this point, I would like to offer the A6 amendment, which is the universal tuition tax credit. And members, you'll all remember that I offered this amendment last week, and we were a little short of time to give it its due consideration, I believe, because we were close to the State of the State address. And I want to offer this amendment again.
Before she goes any further?
So that members consider the purpose.
Secretary, before that, Senator, Secretary will report the A6 amendment.
Senator Ortman moves to amend House File 8 as follows. Page 5, after line 22, insert, this is the A-6 amendment.
Now, Senator Ortman, any further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. President, and I apologize for getting ahead of myself here. The A6 amendment, the purpose of the A6 amendment was to bring to this body certain principles that we should all be concerned about here in the Minnesota State Senate. We have a tax conformity bill where we can provide immediate relief to Minnesotans for their 2006 taxes. And this body also has the opportunity to do more. And just because this body always moves slowly does not mean that this body should be moving slowly at this point. We have a $2.2 billion deficit or surplus, and Minnesotans would like us to do something with that money. They want it to be meaningful. They don't want us to whittle it away and turn it into pennies through local government aid or through property tax rebates. They want real money right now. They're living paycheck to paycheck. They're saving money for college tuition, for all-day kindergarten, and they need our help. And we have the opportunity to help them now. Why wouldn't we help them now? I've heard an awful lot of arguments on both sides of that, Mr. President. We should take our time, is what people tell me. We should take our time, take this bill up in committee, and we should consider all of our options. We should consider all of the opportunities to provide relief to Minnesotans, not just in one amendment, but through the course of all of our efforts here at the Capitol this year. Members, I offered this amendment so that you would all realize how important it is that if we have a surplus, we should make meaningful relief that is actually deliverable to Minnesotans where it will make a difference in their lives. Mr. President, I appreciate the attention of the members of the Minnesota State Senate and the fact that they also recognize the same concerns I do. I support Senator Bach in his promotion of this bill, and I support the governor and hope that he will also consider my concerns, Mr. President, that he consider real, meaningful relief immediately and that it be deliverable to Minnesotans and not just to cities and other governments, but to families that really need this relief. And with that, Mr. President, I withdraw the A6 amendment.
We're on Senator Bach's motion. Further discussion? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Bach that House File Number 8 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Next bill under consideration on general orders will be Senate File Number 25, Senator Cohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee arrives, that Senate File Number 25, number 2 on the general orders calendar, be recommended to pass.
Senator Cohen. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Okay, discussion, Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is the bill that reinstates inflation into the budget forecast. We've had a great deal of discussion about this over the last several years on the floor of the Senate as well as in committee. And I think it's clearly been a concern of many of us in the Senate that the action taken by the 2002 legislature was a mistake, and that the absence of inflation as a budgeting and accounting mechanism and illustration in the forecast, the absence of that has been a mistake. It gives us an unrealistic perspective on what the budget looks like, on what surplus numbers, deficit numbers look like, and certainly the discussion in the Finance Committee was such that it's clear that this is something that is not done in almost any other state in the country, and it's something that actually has held Minnesota up to some national ridicule. We've had some strong testimony from Mr. Paul Anton, who's a member of the Council of Economic Advisors, and I can tell you also as somebody who's attended most of those meetings, that all the economists in the Council feel that the absence of inflation in the budget forecast is a mistake, and this bill is a very simple bill that corrects that. Now, there was language, there has been some concern that what the bill does as it's in front of us right now doesn't make it clear that the usage of inflation has not been sacrosanct in a budget, but has been a budgeting mechanism. So I do have the A5 amendment that offers clarification that I'd like to offer to the bill. And so, Mr. Chairman, I was going to move the A5 amendment to the bill.
Oh, is it? Secretary,
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Watts has indicated that I have it as the A5 amendment. It's actually the A2 amendment at the desk.
Yeah, we have that at the desk. Secretary will report the Cohen A2 amendment.
Senator Cohen moves to amend Senate File 25 as follows, page 1, line 13. This is the A-2 amendment.
Senator Cohen on the amendment.
And Mr. Chairman, what this does, it's a very simple amendment if people have it in front of them. It simply says that inclusion of inflation in the forecast doesn't mean that there'll be automatic spending to match that inclusion. It simply means the inclusion of the language. So I'd move the amendment as clarification.
Mr. President?
Senator Pogemiller.
Would Senator Cohen yield?
Senator Cohen will yield. Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Cohen, Senator Senjum and I were just visiting, and if it would be okay with you as author, we'd like to get the amendment passed out to the members, and then I'd like to have the Committee of the Whole report without dealing with your bill. Then we'd have a 15-minute recess, and then we'd come back, go back into the Committee of the Whole, and take up your bill again.
Mr. Chairman, that's fine. Okay. Again, I would offer the amendment as clarification to the bill.
Yeah, and we'd like that in hard copy of that.
Yeah, that's
so
going to be distributed with Senator Pogemiller's recommendation to the members so they could look at it before we...
Okay, Mr. President?
I didn't realize that.
So
yeah.
Would you progress temporarily?
Okay, so I'd move temporary progress, Mr. Chairman.
On the temporary progress motion by Senator Cohen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move the committee do now arise and report.
On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And, Mr. President, I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole, as kept by the Secretary, be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
And then, Mr. President, I would move a 15-minute recess of the Senate till 25 to 12.
On the motion to recess, all those in favor, Senator Senjum, did you?
May I ask my staff, do we have a room? Republicans will meet in room 107.
And the, Mr. President, this...
Senator Pogemiller.
The remaining members of the Senate will meet in the retiring room.
Okay. On the motion to recess, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate's in recess.
Under.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Cohn. Senator Cohn. Out of committee of the whole, you have. Senator Cohn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if we're back in committee of the whole, I had progressed the bill, so I would again move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 25, number 2 on the calendar, I'm sorry, Senate File 25, number 2 on the calendar, be recommended to pass. Mr. Chairman, I've presented that motion. I also had presented the A2 amendment, which I would remove as well.
Secretary will report the Cohn A2 amendment.
Senator Cohen moves to amend Senate File 25 as follows, page 1, line 13. This is amendment A-2.
Senator Cohen, discussion on the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I explained the amendment. Does everybody have it? So I would move the amendment.
What? Discussion on the amendment. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Cohen yield for a question?
Senator Cohen will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Cohen, if I can refer to you to line 3 of your amendment, where it says the commissioner under the section does not mandate automatic spending for inflation in the budget submitted by the governor. Do we have any type of problem with separation of powers between the executive branch and what we're now doing now as a legislature, giving him the rules of what should be or should not be counted as a mandated fund?
Senator Cohn.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, no.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Cohen, could you expand on that and tell me why we would not be running into any type of conflict with separation of power?
Senator Cohn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, if you recall the original language in statute, it was a statutory mandate that inflation be included in the budget forecast. So this bill only reinstates what had already been in statute for many, many years. This particular provision offers the clarification. One of the criticisms made of reinstating inflation in the budget is whether or not we would then be on, I think the phrase du jour has been automatic pilot or something like that. And this just makes it clear that clarifies what would be the situation with the budgeting. That's all it does. And it doesn't provide any mandate to the governor. It simply provides that clarification.
We're on the amendment. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Cohen, as I examine the amendment and try to think of what happens if this is applied, you know, it seems that this whole issue is one of just changing the way in which we frame the debate. We're going to have the money that we have. We're going to have the statutes in place that are there. But the reality is, just as I've heard Senator Pogamiller and others say, now you understand that in spite of the fact that the forecast has the budget growing by over $1 billion already, we have the close to $1 billion in surplus cash at the end, projected at the end of the biennium, and approximately a billion or so projected in growth. There's been a warning, as we've had in our forecast, that this does not include inflation for a lot of the expenditures that we have put in place in the provisions for expenditures that we have put in place in our statute. But what this tells me, this amendment, tells me that if we're going to put that inflation in, we essentially would be talking about not having any money, additional money. We're kind of at a zero. So there's an assumption that all of that is consumed. So if the governor comes along and he has some different priorities and he'd like to see some emphasis in some of those resources that's essentially additional revenue that we've got coming in, be used in one way and work at refashioning the way we deliver in another way, we have automatically given fodder to the folks of saying, oh, he's cutting our budget. Don't you get tired of hearing from people who are talking about budgets being cut when the actual dollars is going up? I do. And I think that the reality of having of not having an automatic increase frames the debate in such a way that we are allowed to take a look at the additional money we have, and we can determine in a positive way where we think it should go, and not just have to battle the rhetoric that you're cutting our budget.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I would accept that as a speech in favor of my amendment, because that's exactly the clarification.
Further discussion on the A2 amendment, Senator Neville.
Mr. Chair, would Senator Cohen yield for a question?
Senator Cohen, we yield. Senator Neville.
Senator Cohen, with respect to the A2 amendment, does this language have true substantive effect vis-a-vis your bill, or is it just feel-good language?
Senator Cohen. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Neville, I'd have to admit it is feel-good language to the extent that I've heard criticism of my bill that it will, as I mentioned, put us on automatic pilot in terms of spending. And this is clarification that that is certainly not the case.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment prevails. Any further discussion on Senate file number 25 as amended? Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would like to urge members to vote against this bill. And Senator Cohen, maybe, or Mr. Chairman, maybe I could ask Senator Cohen a question if he would answer. I'd like to know if this law were in effect today, how would we be describing the current fiscal situation in the state? Would we be talking about a budget surplus, or would we be talking about a budget deficit? Would Senator Cohen, could he explain the impact of the bill if it were in law today?
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, if I caught Senator Hand's question, and I apologize. Senator Langseth had talked to me about another part of the budget. Could I just ask you to repeat that? I apologize.
Senator Hand, would you?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Cohen, what I'm trying to understand is that if this were the law today, what would we be thinking in terms of our budget? Would we be looking at a budget surplus, as it's often described today, or would we be talking about a budget deficit? In other words, if the effects of your provisions were in place already, would we be talking about a budget deficit or a budget surplus?
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, I apologize, but thank you again for the question. I think as the numbers look, as promulgated by the state's chief economist, Tom Stinson, we'd be looking at a small surplus, but we would not be looking at a surplus the size of which has been talked about in the press.
Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, and I think that makes the point. I think anybody who looks at our current fiscal situation in this state intuitively knows we have a lot more money in the budget this year than we did in the last budget. And to describe that as a small surplus or potentially a deficit, I think, is a little bit disingenuous. I'd also like to point out for members the handout that Senator Cohen gave us. There's an article or a editorial from the St. Paul Pioneer Press that talks about, says you can't fool with inflation. And I will confess, I'm not familiar with Dave Beal. I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I don't know what his expertise is. But he says that most state governments do it. So do most businesses. And I think that's just not true. I came from a business background. I did a lot of budgets in business for the past 25 years. There was never a time when I went into a budget period and said, well, here's my budget. I took last year's amount, and I increased it by 3%, 4% for inflation, and then here's my recommendations in addition to that. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. What businesses do is they look at what are you trying to accomplish, and then you justify what you're currently expending. And if you want to make the argument that there are certain parts of your expenses that are going to go up, some might be because of increased prices to raw materials or labor costs or whatever they might be, but you make the case that those cost increases are justified by the change in the environment. to say, well, we're just going to assume a 3% or 4% increase in cost and then start talking about what additional spending we want to do, I think that is very bad public policy. And businesses don't do it, contrary to what this article says. They do exactly the opposite. And I think this to me would be a step backwards for clarity for the people of Minnesota on what the state of our budget is. And just one example, we spend a lot of money on K-12 education, a lot of money. The biggest single part of our budget is K-12. To say that inflation drives that budget, I think, is not true. 80% of that budget is bargained by school districts, their boards, and bargaining units. They make a deliberate decision of how much they're going to raise their costs and personnel costs. To say that those things are inflation-driven, I think, is disingenuous. And to say that we're going to say, as a general budget practice, that we're just going to assume a 3%, 4%, whatever it might be, is misleading to the public. We need to have a robust debate about what we're currently doing, whether that makes sense, and then make decisions about how much more we want to spend. And so, members, I would urge that you reject this bill as amended. Thank you.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick comment to Senator Hahn. First of all, what you state is what I expect every finance division chair and members of his or her division will be doing during the course of the session in working on the state budget. I just want to make a comment, though, in terms of one genesis of this, particularly for the new members of the Senate. The way the budget forecast is promulgated is Deputy Commissioner Tom Stinson, who is the state's chief economist, working within the Department of Finance, and Mr. Stinson not only has that position, he's also a professor at the university, will work on the budget forecast. And I don't think anybody has ever challenged his numbers. I have no idea what his politics are, his personal politics. I don't think anybody has ever challenged the numbers of Commissioner Stinson, the promulgation of the forecast. But there are two meetings that lead up to the forecast, and that is the Council of Economic Advisors will meet with Mr. Stinson, with the Commissioner of Finance. Legislators don't participate, but several of us will try to go to all those meetings. The council is comprised of the principal economists in the state, irrespective of politics, and it runs the gamut in terms of political ideology and listening to these discussions. I will tell you that every member of the Council of Economic Advisors, irrespective of their politics, irrespective of their ideology, thinks the failure to include inflation in the budget forecast is simply foolish and holds Minnesota up to ridicule. Irrespective of their ideology or their politics, every economist feels that what we did in 2002 was a significant mistake in presenting the reality of an economic forecast.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was just having a piece of information passed out that I think would be helpful to the members as they're deciding this on at this table that comes from the November forecast, talking about structural balance provides a framework for assessing budget decisions. It's out of the November forecast, and I think it addresses what we're talking about today quite well.
Further discussion, Senator Parasol.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I can't think of any of you who have not heard from people that the money is not there for us to just spend as though it were our little slush fund. They believe that belongs to the taxpayers in one way or another. I do not believe that Senator Cohen's bill and amendment that has, I think, erroneously been placed on the bill, do that. It doesn't return it to the constituents, the people who paid it in from their taxpayer pockets. To pass this, I think, is a travesty. You're inviting, I can tell already that you're inviting tax increases because that's exactly what your next move would have to be. All those pet projects that are thrown in the hopper will need money that now won't be available. And when we talk about it wouldn't be there for us to spend, it isn't our money, it's the taxpayers' money. And if you think about going back home to tell people, well, we gave that all to the increases that come with inflation. Thank you very much.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the purposes of the proceedings of the bill, I'd like to call or have a call of the Senate, please.
This is a committee of the whole, and you can't put on a call.
Mr. President, then I'll ask for a roll call vote on the proceedings.
I see three hands. There will be a roll call. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members, this particular issue is not new to the Minnesota Senate. It was discussed quite a bit in the last year of whether or not we should put our budget on automatic pilot to increase our budgets according to whatever the inflationary rate was in the previous year. Now, when you think of it, Minnesota has a budget, a state budget, in excess of $30 billion. That means, assuming, let's say, a modest inflationary rate of only 3%, by voting on this particular measure today, we will be authorizing the dollar amount, 3% on $30 billion, of at least $900 million every biennium. Now, I want us to think carefully about that. We know that our budget is tied to the economic development of our state now. Most of our revenue stream comes from the success of business. We generate sales tax, capital gain tax. If the business economy is good, our economy will be good. If the economy is poor and we don't raise money by those sources, we could have a deficit the following year. Now, assuming there was a perfect storm, that you had a downward trend, you had a deficit creating a huge hole in the revenue stream, now this particular bill is going to add to the complexity of that problem. We now will put into automatic pilot $900 million on top of that scenario. I don't know about you. I've been through a number of these problems when we've had $2 billion holes in our budget due to failure to have the revenue stream. We just got through with $4 billion revenue stream hole, and we corrected that problem by being flexible, cutting some budgets, raising others, recognizing priorities where we believe they should be. Some of those budgets, like education, was even raised during difficult times. But think about what we're doing. A $900 million tax increase, just assuming a modest 3% inflationary rate. I want you to know exactly what you're voting on. We also have to wonder about how this automatic tax increase will affect and how will it preempt any type of forecast reality that comes into our budget. Every single year there's a forecast. Is the money going to be there or is it not going to be there? If it's not there, this will automatically cause those taxes and budgets to increase. I don't think this makes good sense in the way we raise our money. Where we rely on our revenue streams, this does not make sense in a time when we have to base it on economic performance, not only of our nation, but of our state. This is a time when we have to be careful and cautious, examining where our revenue streams are, and then determining our spending, not the other way around.
Further discussion at Senate File 25 as amended. There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion that Senate File, that Senator Cohen's Senate File 25 be recommended to pass. There will be a roll call. Secretary will take the roll. Secretary, Secretary, we'll close the roll. There being 44 ayes and 23 nays, Senate File 25 is recommended to pass.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that the committee do now arise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that the report of the committee of the whole be as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Introductions.
Next order of business be introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are three changes. One on page 3, Senate File 175 will be referred to the Finance Committee. 179 will be...
Who is that referred to?
Tax Committee, and on page 4, Senate File 187 will be referred to the Finance Committee. Without objection, first reading and introduction of Senate bills. Senator, announcements of Senate interest. Senator Wieger.
Thank you. Mr. President, members, the Senate Education Committee will meet at 6 p.m. in a site visit in the Minnetonka School District. I thank Senator Bonner for setting that up and would like to yield to Senator Bonner.
Senator Boniff.
Thank you, Mr. President and members of the Senate. We're having a hearing this evening at the Minnetonka School District. Minnetonka is one of three school districts in the nation to receive an award for the technology that they're using to advance student learning. So we are taking this opportunity this evening to have Minnetonka showcase what they're doing with regard to technology. In addition, the Wayzata School District and the Hopkins School District will talk about how they're using technology in the classroom. And this hearing is done with the intent that we'll be able to use some of what we've learned in these districts to pilot programs in other parts of the state. The Education Policy Committee has been invited, as well as the Business, Jobs, and Industry Committee. Thank you.
Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, members of the State Government Budget Division, due to the length of today's session, I'm going to delay the start of the Budget Division meeting till 1 o'clock rather than 12:30, give people a chance to eat. We do have a bill before us, but we will start the State Government Budget Division at 1 o'clock.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. President. Members of the Environment Policy Committee, if we could go ahead and get your lunches real quick and maybe bring them back to the committee room. We've got kind of a lengthy agenda, so we want to get started quickly.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, I have two announcements, actually. The Public Safety Budget Division will meet at 3 o'clock in room 112. And then the other is a little more entertaining, at least. Senator Clark and I have been talking. We think that we're on our road to being a good bipartisan fun bunch, but we aren't quite there yet. So on your desk is an invitation to a get-together for tomorrow night. Very short notice, and the details are all there. Please come and join us. You know, I think there are still some of us who are saying, who is that guy over there? Or I don't remember where Senator fill-in-the-blank is from. So come get social, and we'll all get to know each other, and we'll do good work on the behalf of the citizens as a result. Thank you.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, the Health and Housing and Family Security Committee overview will begin at 12:45 instead of 12:30.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I'd ask members to make their announcements a little shorter in the future, please.
Monday, Mr. President, I move that the Senate now do adjourn till Thursday, January 22nd. Is that right?
Yeah.
25th.
25th.
Yeah. Till 11:45 a.m. 11:45. Thursday, the 25th, 11:45. And I'd also, I have a one announcement, Mr. President. The Finance Division Chair should meet in room 237 immediately upon adjournment.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.